How's it going, everyone? Welcome to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. Today, I've got the whole gang here as we go through our pre-round one special episode. We're going to draft a team, we're going to talk about some tips and tricks, and we're going to get excited for round one starting later this week. How's it going, Liam, specifically?
Thank you, Mel, specifically. It's going very well. Things are starting to feel very real. The men's season has wound down, and the AFLW season is now starting to feel finally here.
Yes, well, given that none of us except Will have a men's club in the finals. As far as I know.
You're correct there, thank you, Mel. Disrespect on the Hawthorn Hawks.
That is
Hawks.
A big cock ball call.
Oopsies.
Hawk ball.
My bad. Well, Jono, why don't you tell us how excited you are then?
I'm thrilled. I can't believe that we've actually made it. We had to win, 13 of our last 16 games to get there, but it's been a good ride.
Don't think you would have seen that coming at the start of the season.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
Nice. And then Will, the one that the club that I did pay attention to, for the record, I don't really follow the men's. I just know the Freo didn't make it, just.
Yep, the only club that of the lot of us that made it. very excited. I do think that a lot of people will be a bit disappointed that the reign of Geelong and Hawthorn is set to continue. But yeah, I'm very excited for my Cats in the men's, but I'm even more excited about the start of the AFLW season.
Me too.
Yeah, I think the Hawks in the women's are going to go very, very similar to what they've just done in the men's. I think we're set for a big rise this season.
Started from the bottom-ish, now you're here. I like it.
That is a seriously bold call.
I mean, you would have said the same about the men's at the start of the season.
I was about to say from 5-0, 0-5, that was a bold call then. So
at the very least, we'd seen the new coach. Like, Sam Mitchell wasn't a new coach at the start of this year for that Hawks squad. We're seeing completely fresh team.
Yeah, well, hopefully we see all of our teams in the finals because that would be fun. Well, that's actually not what we're here to bicker about. We are here to give some last-minute tips before the start of round one.
We are, but I just want to quickly, before we jump in, we've actually got one extra reason to celebrate. It's not only the end of the men's. It's not only the start of AFLW for 2024. This is actually our 100th episode of Free Kick, and that is something that I am extremely proud of. I can't believe we've made it here.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, this whole experience has been fantastic. We started off with very little idea, and then 100 episodes later, we still have very little idea, but we're having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. 100 episodes. I don't want to think about how many hours of prep and then editing. We've got a billion docs scattered all over our drives. Got 300 plus Instagram posts up. It's so impressive. I am very happy that we've made it here. And 100 is a great reason to celebrate. Jono, thank you for making us stop and pause and reflect on that, because otherwise we would have just bulldozed straight through onto the next 100. But let's get on to some last minute tips. Liam, we've got some players that we need to avoid because of injury. People might have read some about it in your most recent article, but let's have a little bit of a recap.
Yep, absolutely. So there are some players that are still very highly owned that are injured. They're not going to play in round one, or they are very unlikely to play in round one, and you need to get rid of them from your side. They are, first and foremost, Lauren Butler. Leg injury. Collingwood announced it before the start of the Prakki match. She's likely to miss round one and possibly round two. She's still in 17% of teams. She's got to go. Next one is Georgia Stubbs, who's in 11% of teams, a midfielder from North. She dislocated her ankle. She has been replaced at North as a result of that injury.
That's just such a funny one, because we've never mentioned Georgia Stubbs. Where did that come from? Who knows?
I have a feeling that she may be in some of the auto-generated teams, but highly owned players generate highly owned players as people look to try and fill their teams with particularly rookies. The next one is one we all know about. That's Kiara Bowers. She's in 6.5% of teams. If for whatever reason she's in your team for nostalgic purposes, I hope you've enjoyed the last few weeks, but she has to go. She's not going to play this year. Then another one that I don't believe is going to play round one because they didn't play the practice match, coming off an ACL, it's Kalinda Howarth. 4.5% of teams as a forward. I know she's in a beautiful price point, and we talked about her for a lot of the offseason as a potential option, but If she didn't play in the practice mats, it sounds as though she is unlikely to play in round one.
Yeah, save her for a mid-season pick if you're looking for it. I think, as you say, Liam, very unlikely for round one.
And to be honest, I think it's helpful because it means we can wait until she comes in, look at what it's like for a week, and then trade her in later. And then the final one to mention at 7.5% of teams is Taylor Harris. Now, this is not one that is a guaranteed not to play, but she did not play in either of the match simulation or the practice match. And there are reasonable questions about whether or not she will get up to play in round one. We have still not heard much from Melbourne, or we heard that she was going to miss the practice match, and then about 5 days later, after there's a whole bunch of uproar about a quad strain, then they tell us that, you know, she is potentially okay. So just one to watch.
Yeah, and we haven't heard much about these recently, I guess, at the time of recording, which is Monday night, but we're hoping that when this episode goes out and in the couple of days before the start of the season, we get some more concrete injury reporting coming out from the AFLW. So definitely ones to watch for updates on. Some of the other big things that we saw in the practice games, though, was that we had a number of really big players not playing. They were either rested or they were kind of nursing a bit of an injury and didn't want to risk themselves in the pracky games. And because of that, we saw some really big fantasy scores from players that we think, oh, maybe we're not going to see that in round one when a couple of these big name players come back. But cross-referencing that at the time of recording with the injury list, I think there's a few flags that we should be raising now that are players to watch and listen to over the next few days for the injury reporting, as they could really make some more fantasy relevant plays of interest ahead of round one. First one we've got is the Collingwood situation. So Liam did just mention Lauren Butler, but then with Bree Davey coming out in an article a few days ago with still a 1 week ankle injury, we saw that Michaela Cann and Britt Bonici had really big games in the Pracky games. Will, do you think that makes these guys a bit more potential for your starting squad?
Yes and no. I think Bree Davey's been nursing that injury through a lot of the preseason. So if she was a player you were thinking of starting with, I would probably look elsewhere simply because we know that, we say that an interrupted preseason isn't good, but Bree Davey came out and scored really well off an interrupted preseason last year. So who knows? For me, I think Bonici and Michaela Cann should continue to score reasonably well. Collingwood tend to have Cann, Davey and Bonici as their main three that do run through there. I actually think the player who's probably most affected by this is Grace Campbell, who had 15 tackles and played a lot through the midfield last year in particular. If Bree Davey is playing, I think she'll probably end up back in that forward line more permanently, which may limit her ability to be around the ball. But I think Bree Davey's the sort of player that will, even if she is injured, will probably end up playing round one anyway. So
yeah, true.
One to just watch out for.
Yep, I like it. We also saw Lucy Single potential concussion in the Pracky game, which leaves her marked with a test, as well as Maddie Brand-Catasano with a 3 to 4 week reported ankle injury. This is, going to leave some big holes in the Gold Coast midfield. And we already know there's a few players that we're quite excited about there, but what does it mean for some of the others, like maybe an Ella Smith, maybe potentially more time? John, are you excited about that?
Yeah, no, you're taking the words out of my mouth. I think of the two injuries here, I would expect Lucy Single to be back. She'll be outside of the 12-day concussion protocol by the time that they get to their first round match. But I do think Ella Smith is now very likely to have at least a little bit of a look at the start of the season in that midfield, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Over at the North Melbourne Tasmanian Kangaroos, gone with the full name there.
You've gone their full government name.
Just had an urge. We have seen Jenna Bruden miss a couple of games and have that Achilles injury reported on for a little while now. But if she still doesn't play in round one, that makes Ash Riddell an even more attractive option. We saw her have a massive preseason pracky game, but do we think that's going to hold if some of these injured players return at North Melbourne? Definitely one to be watching, Liam.
Also big watch on Ruby Tripodi. If Jenna Bruton is not playing, she had a predominant midfield role in the GWS Pracky game, but has also in round 10 last year when they were missing Mia King, also had a predominant CBA role. So if she's not playing, that's great for what is a lot of people's F4 or F5 at the moment.
Over at Melbourne, there's a few players on the list, I believe, but Taylor Harris with her quad, still a test, as you mentioned earlier, Liam. Does this make some of the Melbourne defenders look even more attractive? I mean, we saw Goldwick have an amazing game. I mean, Melbourne listed defenders. We saw Goldwick have an amazing game, but I guess maybe some question marks around some of the outs in the team that led her to have such a good game. Does this boost her up even higher if Taylor Harris definitely doesn't play?
The thing that what I actually feel is most beneficial to Shanae Goldrick is Liv Purcell, who we haven't talked about as having an injury. She has broken her face and will miss an as yet to be determined period of time. And that, I think, frees her to spend a little bit of time in the midfield. But Goldrick was playing on all three lines last week anyway. I actually think that Taylor Harris still being out makes me really uncertain to pick Melbourne players because I just don't know how they're going to line up for the first month. When Taylor Harris comes back, we've been told she'll play as a defender, but we're yet to actually see it yet. So it would make me feel uncomfortable. I do think, though, that there are enough holes that, particularly with Purcell out, I think Goldrick and Kate Hoare have both become more interesting as a result.
Mm. I definitely like Kate Hoare. Over at GWS, Alicia Eva is still a test, and we saw Nicola Barr have an amazing pracky game. Will, I know Nikki Barr is someone you were very keen on last season. Is this the season that she starts in your squad?
She won't be starting in my squad, but I don't think it's a bad option. Alicia Eva's been slated for more of a half-forward role this year, so it might be potentially a Hanine Zrika who moves forward, or possibly a Zali Goldsworthy, so that's one to definitely watch out for. But I think the preseason practice game did sort of show that Nikki Barr and possibly a Beck Beeson are going to have pretty good years in that midfield and try and take a bit of the pressure off Elise Parker. So could be an interesting one, but I don't think the Alicia Eva injury will affect that too much.
Awesome. And last on the whip around, we've got skipper Hannah Priest and Georgia Patrikios, both as test and TBC respectively over at the Saints. We saw a very good fantasy-relevant game for a few players we weren't so much expecting in Grace Kelly, Serene Watson, Jesse Wardlaw, and Liv Vesely. Liam, which players here do you think are going to be able to maintain that scoring if we don't see Hannah Priest and Georgia Patrikios start round one?
Yeah, I think if it's Hannah Priest out, I am more bullish on picking Serene Watson because I do feel like she's got that role locked up and it's another body out who may take some of the transition ball movement. For Patrikios, it's a real unknown. Maybe we see a boost in the midfield from a Hannah Stewart, a Charlotte Simpson, who's a rookie. Maybe we see some more consistent time for Liv Vesely, who's been thrown around in the past. Tiana Smith might take on a better role. I don't have a great read week to week, or at least I don't feel like I'm going to be predicting who's going to score well in the St Kilda midfield week to week. So I'm not 100% sure on who benefits the most. And it might be that it takes a few weeks for us to figure out who is actually going to be the most impacted by it all.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of some of those St Kilda players, I guess let's go on to another interesting tips and tricks to share before round one, which is unique pods. Will, it has to be you that announces this segment because you love a pod. And you've pulled together for us a lowly owned player on each line, including someone interesting at St Kilda.
Yeah, do I love a pod? And I've had a look at some of the ownership stats and picked out a few players who are owned less than 1%. So if you want someone very different, these are the players. And the first player starting in your defense is Grace Kelly, who you mentioned. She's a winger, but listed as a defender, which is great. Had a very, very good game in that practice game. Priced at only $554,000. So definitely an option if you're looking for a mid-pricer there. In the midfield, I've gone for Beck Beeson, who's always been a favorite of mine. Looked really, really good in the practice game. Only owned by less than 0.5% of the competition, so 0.49%. Priced at $909,000, so still a fair bit of money to cough up there, but definitely has a lot of upside. Back to St Kilda for the ruck, I reckon Renee Karras is a really interesting one and a player that I know Liam's got a fair bit of interest in. She is the lowest owned player in the competition.
Wow.
Will cost you $500,000. I reckon there's a bit of upside there. I think she has a big chance to take over that number one ruck role at St Kilda this year as Simone Nelda just gets that little bit older. We know that Nelda's good with the hitouts, but Karras's ability around the ground is also really, really good. And a forward line option I've pulled out is Annie Lee at Collingwood, who's owned by just over 0.5% of the competition. Especially with Lauren Butler out, there's a half-back distributor type role there for the Pies. So you could have a nice forward rookie option at only $387,000.
Can I, first of all, say excellent choices. They're as will as you could get.
So will.
I also think that it would be, yeah, of course you pick Beck Beeson. I think you've mentioned her on every season we've ever done. There is one player that I did want to mention, and she is a $405,000 forward. Now, above your 1% threshold at 1.14, but it's something that we've not seen or discussed at any point, I think, this preseason. But there was an interesting tidbit this week that I couldn't go undiscussed. That's Izzy Huntington. So for those of you who aren't aware, she was a former number one draft pick at the Western Bulldogs, a club champion and All-Australian in her third season, I believe, second or third season, and also won the Rising Star as a defender. And in that season, she averaged 57.8 points per game. Now, after that, for most of the rest of her career to date, she has either played forward or been injured with an ACL injury. Now, she came back to, and moved to GWS and has been playing as a forward last season. As of this week, though, there were some articles written by the GWS social media team about each of the different lines and who you can expect to play where and more often. And what was fascinating to see was Izzy Huntington is slated to a move in defence. Now, why this is new is she did not play in the practice match for personal reasons, but if she does come back and play straight away, this is someone who is priced as a rookie who is capable of scoring at 57, but albeit in shorter game times, but in a team that was far better, and so the ball lived down there less. She has an excellent pair of hands, flies to the ball very cleanly, would not dissuade someone who wanted to go early on picking Izzy.
Agreed, but over 1%, so definitely not a point of difference. So many people own her. It's really hard for me to justify that one. But I completely agree with you, Liam. That news on Izzy Huntington completely changed it, because when she was playing up forward for GWS last year, looked very lost. But down back, we know how good she can score. So I definitely agree with that one as a potential late pod mail.
Yes, I know she's extremely highly owned by your standards. It just felt wrong not to mention it, given how late we found this out. And I'm hoping that some people might get some benefit out of it.
Quick whip around. What's your lowest owned player? Well, Will, you get to go last, because I think you might be winning.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I can start. I think from the point that I released my team publicly last week, I have actually made zero changes to this point.
Nice.
So it is still Jess Allen, who I think is in about 6-7% of teams at the moment. So not too unique.
I like
it. But how about you, Liam?
So I have been fiddling around a lot with some different structures. I'm not sure if I want to run two rookies, go Uber, like, you know, guns and rooks in the midfield. Two rookies on field in the midfield. Not five premiums on field, two rookies off field. At the moment, my most lowly owned player is Mia King, who is my M4 at the moment at 2.46%.
Oh, you've just beaten me. I hadn't opened my team since last Monday when we recorded, and was shocked and then remembered what I had done by putting Jesse Wardlaw as my ruck, 3.25%. Do I hate it? No.
But do you love it?
Also no.
given when you saw it, you laughed immediately. I think there's some momentary regret or questioning.
What is this glitch? Someone has hacked into my fantasy and ruined my team. Oh, wait, that was me. And Will?
Yeah, I mean, in true Will fashion, I'm pretty sure I have three players in my team which are lower than all of those. I currently have Cynthia Hamilton in my forward line, who is 2.37% owned. I have the one and only superstar and my favorite player, Brenna Tarrant, in my back line, 1.29% owned. And I've gone very different in my ruck lineup. I've currently got Lauren Wakfa as my ruck, who is 0.39% owned.
Interesting.
Wow. That is a unique choice.
I am speechless.
I aim to prevent speech, so...
That's what you want in a podcast host.
Exactly. More airtime for me.
That 39.5 average is looking real enticing.
Absolutely. It's just...
Okay, well, huge. Let's maybe move on to some important rookies that we should be selecting. That Jono, do you want to run us through the must-haves?
Yeah, so I think there's a few rookies that we can be pretty confident on. This week, it's always the chaos of, are the people that we want to be named, are they actually named? And I think we've got five here that I would be relatively confident on, which is better than most seasons. So number one on the list is Shanae Goody. If she is not in your team, which 50% of coaches right now do not have her, you need to get her in. This is the easiest selection you're going to make all year. She had 110 fantasy points in the practice game, including 25 disposals and 7 clearances, which is slightly better than what she averaged in the AFLW 18 championship last year. So her game is going to translate straight away. I'm very excited to see it. Lock her away right now.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I've got Michaela Pounga. And I think this is an easy forward rookie, probably the best one that we've got there. She looks like she's going to have a lot of time in the GWS midfield. So very, very exciting. Another one that we need to lock away is Ruby Tripodi, who we touched on just before. If Jenna Bruton is missing, then very, very easy choice having her as a midfield rotation at North. But I think there's a good chance that even if they've got their full midfield in, she could still get minutes. She looked very, very promising in that practice game against the Giants. So I think she's one that's going to get regular game time this year and should make a bit of catch. Jumping into the back line, and number four on the list is Kate Lutkins. So, and this is where we clarify that a rookie is anyone priced under 420K, not someone who is
a multiple All-Australian.
A 50-gamer, multi-All-Australia, 36-year-old.
Best on ground in a grand final, I think, as
yep.
well.
Yep, correct.
One of the most accomplished people out there, but somehow priced at 369K. So she's currently in 20% of teams, but I think Kate Lutkins is one that you can lock in for regular game time at the Lions. And really, really impressive. I thought her work in transitioning the ball out of defense in a very tough game against the Tigers was very impressive. So I'd be happy to lock her in. And then final fifth best rookie I think that we have this season is Abby McDonald from the Geelong Cats. I think this is a tough spot. It could go to a lot of players, but what I saw from her in the Geelong backline was very, very impressive. She tackles, she marks, she gets a fair bit of the footy. So I'm pretty excited. If she can take those VFLW stats that she had this year, I think she averaged, 95, was it, Will?
Yeah, something like that. Ridiculous numbers.
Yeah, if she can take that up, I'd be very impressed. So I think I'm happy to lock her in as my fifth rookie.
Jono, why do you hate Carlton? What did they do to you?
There are a lot of Carlton options, but it's hard to pick the best one, you know? I know Maddie Guerin, Dana Finn, Lulu Beattie, Yasmin Dersma, they're all thereabouts, but I can't say that I would take any of them before Abby McDonald.
The section here isn't the best rookies to pick from Carlton, so we can have a whole other section on that if we really wanted to.
I've actually heard, Jono, that you're releasing them on Twitter. You're going to do your top five Carlton rookies and rank them and give you a little explanation. That's what you told me before the episode started.
Kane.
Yeah. I definitely remember that. Yeah.
Just a quick flag on Lulu Beattie. The AFLW article that runs through each club that gets updated quite regularly. Some people might be using that as a resource. It's listed her as inactive. Don't worry, though. She's definitely not. She will be playing, and she's a great rookie to choose, even if Jono didn't mention her. Okay, so moving on. We've got our resident captain's call co-host here. Liam, do you want to run us through Captain Planet? Oh, is that your new name?
But that was not me who did it. That's Will. Only Will is going to do that.
Huzzah! Will's been fucking with the notes and he's caught me off guard. That's good from you, Will. Captain Planet, why don't you take us through the, the captain's picks for round one?
Yes, absolutely. So round one and the first three rounds of the year are going to be a little different because typically towards the end of the year, we're going to be thinking about looping because we will probably have a red dot. And then separately, we're going to have, through the middle of this season, we're going to have the double game weeks. So, unsurprisingly, the number one captain, I believe, for this week is Ebony Marinoff going up against Port Adelaide, who just allowed Kate Hoare to score over 120 points in the practice match, who may be without Abby Dowrick, their best midfielder. And so it'll be Kirsty Lamb and a bunch of under-19s players who are all very, very good at football, but will probably be trounced by Noffy, who scored 110 in the practice game, in the round one game against Port last year. Number two captain option for me is Charlie Rowbottom.
I just want to quickly ask you a question there. 110 against Port Adelaide last year is well below par for Ebony Marinoff. Is that cause for concern?
No, because that game was the dumbest game of all time. I think it had a near record number of marks, and that was also the game that sucked me into picking Aaron Phillips last year. But yeah, I do think that Ebony Marinoff, like, this is also a different Port Adelaide midfield now as well. We saw what they were, just the ball was just allowed to go up and down, tackles galore against Melbourne. I don't expect it to be different.
Yeah, I will also say that I think Ebony Marinoff's clearly the best captaincy choice, so I'm definitely not disagreeing with you there.
Outrageous. I feel extremely challenged. We will fight to the death next week. You heard it here first.
Keen.
I mentioned Charlie Rowbottom at two. I think that going up against St Kilda, who were an easy matchup to score against last year, I think that she will definitely benefit from St Kilda's somewhat scrappy game style. She also loves playing at home. She's had some epic scores against them, including that ridiculous 140-plus score against, West Coast last year. My only flag that I had been considering when first coming up with these rankings was Hannah Priest potentially playing might have influenced the decision to run a tag on Charlie Rowbottom, but her being out alongside Patrikios being out means I do wonder if there are the horses inside that CBA mix at St Kilda to be able to try and tag Rowbottom. Not that I think it completely kills her scoring either. I think she's the least tackable player in the competition. Number three is Jazz Garner. Now, she has Charlie Rowbottom on average from last year by whatever it is, 10 plus points. But I do wonder if Jasmine Garner does see some attention. She was not tagged in the first half of the grand final and had like 80 plus at halftime, and then finished just over 100 at 110, I think it was. And I do wonder if coming into the grand final rematch, North do see Brisbane throw some tags at them. So Cathy Spark, Bree Conan have played tagging roles. I also think that you could see any number of the midfielders. So you might even see Belle Dawes sit on her at a stoppage. You might see Courtney Hodder try and run with her and pester her. I'm not going to be shocked if Brisbane try and run some things at Jazz Garner. Now, she wasn't tagged in their regular season matchup last year and scored 121 or 122. So it's very difficult to see who exactly it's going to be. But I still think Jazz Garner is going to score all right. She's just not top this week.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard with the price that she's at. Quite an extortionate price, you could say. Potentially a little bit too much to justify.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult one and tough one to watch, although she still is extremely highly owned. Number four for me is Monique Conti. So she's someone who really killed it at the back end of last year, and Richmond start off against West Coast. And I think that if Liv Vesely can go over 110, then Mon Conti could easily be on for over 125 against a midfield that looked completely overawed. And now number five, much like the rookies, was one I really struggled with. You know, I had kind of made like an arrow straight, like beeline straight to some of my favorite options. I'm like, Ash Riddell can do a super high score again. Maybe I go super speculative and I pick Georgie Prasparkas, who will play against a Melbourne that allowed a rookie to score 110. but I have gone for someone who loves a big score in round one, and that is Ellie Blackburn, who's playing up against GWS, who have at times run a tag in the past, but I do wonder if their tagger, who was previously Hanin Zarika, is going to be thrown into that midfield. I'm expecting a more free-flowing game in the first few weeks of the season before GWS realise that they're not going to win and then become very defensive again.
So who do you currently have your C on?
Ebony Marinoff. And she is the most highly owned player in the game, so I would expect she will be the most highly owned captain.
Yeah, I love these captaincy ones, but I think a lot of the other ones are just there for decoration because it really is Ebony Marinoff or bust, I think, for most people.
My only question, though, is if you've got a VC on a Charlie Robottom, a Jazgana, a Moncon, or a Blackburn, or whomever you have your VC on, if they play before Ebony Marinoff, what would be the line or score that you would need to see from that player to pick a red dot, maybe a red dot ruck, for example, and to be able to allow for a captain loophole?
Crap. Are you guys putting non-playing rucks on your bench so that you can VC loophole in round one?
Something we've been thinking about for sure. Yeah.
I had been considering it.
Drats! I just remembered that's a thing.
I would think you'd have to go at least 120.
I would say that it is above 120.
Yeah.
I think it's 135 plus.
Oof. I mean, I'm not expecting any of the rookie rucks to make any cash, and locking in 120 score early in the round would feel pretty good. So I think,
yeah,
I think
but
even 115, to be honest, I'd be happy with.
Poor.
See, I would say that with what Noffy can average above 125, I think locking in a captaincy score, which is below her average from last year, up against a team that just allowed someone who doesn't play full-time midfield to score more than that would be unwise, because I do think O'Dowd and Cleaver may actually be able to generate cash. And honestly, even Lily Pierce, if only because maybe she sees some more ruck time. Like, she didn't exactly play the whole game in the ruck, and I do wonder if she was injured somewhat or sore, because her time on ground was also very low.
Well, this has been a great whip around of some things we need to think about. Lots to think about, evidently, as I've just realised. So let's leave it there and move on to the second part of the episode. Okay, let's draft a team. We did this last season and it was lots of fun. So we're going to make the free kickers team in the official platform. I would like to call it the Freaks because I reckon that's a great name for our listeners, like free with a K for kick, free kick, freak. TBC if that's going to catch on. I'm getting some very upset faces back from the guys. So if you want to call yourself a freak, let me know. If not, or maybe I don't want to offer that. Let's move on promptly. If you're a freak, DM me. Let's go on to freak. Oh, 1 second. Okay, let's build the free kickers draft. Okay, so let's draft a team. Over to the main event of the episode. We've got the free kick team ready to fill in on the official platform. Liam's going to be dragging some of our players over, and we're going to go one by one and draft it together. We did this last season. It was a lot of fun. So going at it again, we now have 4 co-hosts and 21 players. So we're going to pick 5 each. And lucky me, as the host, I get to pick the 21st player first. And then we get 1 veto each. We'll see how that works. I remember it was a lot of ruck messing around last season because I really threw us in there with Gab Seymour, which no one liked. So for my first lock as host,
I thought it was great.
I'm going to go Gab Seymour. No, I'm going to go. I think I'd get kicked out of the pod.
It's an older me, but it checks out.
It's got to be Sinead Goody. And I'd like to put her at M5, please. I think we've spoken about her a lot, but She absolutely smashed it in the preseason games. She's going to be this year's breakout. She wasn't acting like a rookie. She was acting like an elite midfielder, both in terms of fantasy points and game. So I think she's already very highly owned. I think the third highest owned player. So let's lock her in because she seems like a lock in pretty much everyone's team so far.
I got to say, given we all pre-agreed to Sinead Goody, the want to use my veto at this stage is so strong, just to throw us before
you
we
can't
even
be
start.
Such a contrarian.
You don't need to act on those voices, Will.
But
you
no,
just...
there's fun to be had later on, so I will hold on to my veto.
Good. Well, you might... I assume you're going to not do it now, then.
No, as he is not doing it now.
Because I'm going to put Ebony Marin off at M1 with my first draft pick.
I like it. Are you going to chuck a C on her too?
Yes, we will. I think that's very controversial.
Given your monologue just a minute ago?
Yep.
I like it.
Yep.
Okay, Captain Planets put the C on Marin off M1. And next we have Jono.
Look, I'm going to follow that up pretty much straight away with another M2. Charlie Rowbottom. I think potentially he got the chops this year to rival Marinoff in scoring. So I'm very excited to see how close she can get.
I like Big it. Fan. This is looking a lot like my team so far.
Yeah, I'm going to lock in a D2 and put a personal favourite of mine, Ruby Slicer.
Ooh, leading with
Ruby,
D2.
Ruby.
Bold.
Look, interesting.
I don't know if she'll stay at D2. She might end up being D1 if we really run out of money because we track this badly, but we'll see how we go.
Okay. I'm going to go, in the essence of spending all of our money, I'm going to go Kate Hoare as F2, please.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Interesting.
F2. You're going to pick her as F2 and not pick F1.
Someone else can pick F1. I like Kate Hoare.
I would like to pick Kate Hoare as
Sorry.
My...
Oops, I just put the one I was expecting.
I'd like to put Kate Hoare as my F3, please.
Chuck her on the bench, actually. I think she could be a good one to sub into. Yeah, I mean, we saw her have a great game. There's a few outs at Melbourne. She's the significantly cheaper than a Bonnie Toogood, so I've now left you guys the position to either go a Bonnie as well or shuffle her up to F1.
Well, I've got the next draft pick and I'm just going to pick Bonnie Toogood. I think that if we'd done this like 3 weeks ago, I might have tried to veto Kate Hoare, but I think that what we saw in the practice match, albeit against a very easy to score against Port Adelaide, was still the type of role that you'd want to see if you thought that there was upside for her, even with an awful run to start with. But Bonnie is just, she's just, you know, too good. I can't even say with a smile. It's like the joke makes itself.
And it's a good thing no one's ever made it before. So
no, I haven't fresh admonished content. For people for making it in my presence either. I've been very like, oh, that's a good one. I might use that.
First time you've heard it. Okay, Jono.
Look, I guess I'll fill out the D1 spot with Eilish Sheeran. I think another one that's just looking ready to go. I think the midfield spot that we wanted to see in the practice game was there. Absolutely a player that has the chops to be the number one defender in the game. So I think an easy choice. No complaints.
Uncontroversial.
Love it. Love it. All right, Will, let's... throw something out with less than 1% that we can veto. Come on.
All right. I'm going to go for... Who are we going to go for? I'm going to go for... We're going to start with our ruck, and we're going to put in 0.017% Renee Karras.
Reen Carr.
We're putting in...
Bench?
Renee Carras. No, straight to R1.
Oof. Okay.
Oh,
I love it. Well, I'm not going to veto this. I want to see what the team looks like.
No, I
mean, that's that's a bit of an earthquake, but what I was going to do, I'm actually now thinking that that's probably a better choice for a ruck at St Kilda as opposed to what I have in my actual fantasy side, which is Jesse Wardlaw, which, you know, Renee Karras is a good 200 and something grand cheaper. Do I want to veto it? No, I like to, I'd like to see where this goes. I'd like to play it out because it's something I might genuinely copy, depending on how it all goes.
You can see Liam tempted.
Oh, I'm just, Mel, make your pick. I might veto when it comes around to my turn.
I reckon that's a top-notch pick, that one.
I like it. I'm going to go for someone that has caused me great pain last season, but is still in my side regardless. And I think it might be a point of differentiation from Liam and Jono. Liam, do you know who you're going to start typing already?
No, I don't.
Okay. I'm going to go Ella Heads, please, as D3.
Ella Heads. Interesting. Tough run to start with. Very interesting.
Very consistent.
Well, sorry, good run first two games and then it gets tough quickly.
But very consistent. Not someone I want to be mucking around on with trades. A known entity that, I mean, I've got a lot of, there's a lot of players that we've seen really good games from in the fracky games that have like jumped up our ranks. But this is one that's been a very consistent player all through the last season. Not too high a floor. I mean, not too low a floor, not too high a ceiling. I like it.
6.9% owned.
Cheeky.
I mean, moderate. But also, I need to stop you guys from just making your teams. So,
I mean, I picked Renee Karras. Instead, we're going to make my team.
Renee Karras is getting so massively vetoed.
No, she'll be there long.
It's not even funny. And I'm going to put in Jess Allen in the interests of keeping some cash in the bank and not going straight up to a premium. I think we've talked about her a bunch. She has scored well without Montana McKinnon. And I did some maths. I think she has played a total of 6 games in her career where she hasn't had a dual ruck setup. So it's either been Montana McKinnon or Erin McKinnon, actually. So she's been McKinnoned out of the game, out of a sole ruck role most of the time that she's played. But that game she had against Melbourne last year up against Lauren Pierce was the game that I look at and go, that kind of 70 potential is really there for someone who went in the top, she went at pick 7 or pick 8 in her draft year, and was easily the highest drafted ruck at the time.
Yeah, I like her first month as well. I think it's going to be a good one. I guess I'll jump in then with my next pick, unless anyone wants to veto Liam's ruck choice.
I mean, the temptation just to sow more seeds
cannot veto back to someone who's already been removed. You cannot put Ream back in.
I can pick someone else, which would be even more chaotic.
No, I think, we've spent a lot of money so far, and I'm going to take us down several notches. I want to lock in Kate Lutkins in the back line.
Yep, don't mind it.
Yeah, too cheap for too good a player to pass up on.
Agreed.
We've already got too good. What was that?
Will the Galah, apparently, has arrived at our recording.
Okay. Will the Galah, you're up.
Will the Galah? I want to pick someone silly, but I'm not going to. I'm going to put in as a... I'm going to say F4 just because there's a bit of space to move around. At F4, I'm going to put in Ruby Tripodi.
Interesting that you've gone F4. Ruby over Michaela Pounger.
Well, that's why I went with her at F4, because I thought, based on money, Pounger can be pick F5. So
yeah, I am somewhat concerned about Ruby just with the run that to start the year, starting with Brisbane and Geelong, and then hitting Melbourne. She doesn't have a good matchup until round 4, and that's even without considering the return of Jenna Bruton. She had a very easy matchup in the Pracky matchup against GWS, who looked fine form straight back to where they left. How confident are we that she'll put up something above a 50 in round ones and one and two at least.
Look, I'm confident enough that she'll put up a 50 at some point in the first few rounds, and I'm more confident that she'll do it than any other forward rookie aside from the giant aforementioned.
Yeah, Tarno.
So, my question though is, do you make a haircut at, do you put in a second rookie at M4 and run a two rookie, three premium setup in your midfield because we are more confident we will get fieldable scores from the host of Port Adelaide midfield rookies we can select from as compared to Tripodi, who has tough run and an as yet unsighted role when it comes to consistency?
You raise a good point. Regardless of whether or not we're running her on field or on the bench, I think they're going to get moved around as we pick. And I would think she's going to be either our F4, 5 or on the bench. I think there's not a world that I don't want her in my starting team.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I was just flagging that the F4 thing has something I've really had to ponder over, because you could go a supersized F4 and go like Gabby O, but we'll talk about that later. Mel, you're up.
Whether she's F4 or F5 doesn't actually impact your fantasy score.
This is why Kate Hoare should have been F5. We could have avoided this whole conversation. So,
just, I wasn't sure if you were aware of that, Liam.
I thought you actually got multipliers based on how high they were in your team. So if you put them at F1, you've got a 5x multiplier on their score.
Nice.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to go with... Okay. For our... Oh, you're not going to like this. For M3, can I please have Freo Docker Ash McCarthy?
Ooh.
Yeah, no, you cannot. I'm going to veto that, sorry.
Yeah.
But put her in there and then wait till your turn and then you can take her out. Or do you veto
that,
now?
Is that how it works? I'll wait my turn before I take her out. That's fair.
Okay.
She's Tell us what you M3. Want her first. Sorry, I cut you straight off.
I think that she's the player that's going to have the biggest impact in the Freo midfield. She's one that's definitely going to be there. We saw a really good role from her in the practice game. There's somewhat slim pickings in there in terms of, I think Kaufman's going to have a good tackle role. I think Dana East is going to stay on the wing and not have too much of a fantasy relevant role. They might be running some other younger players through there, but I think that Ash McCarthy is the player to have from Freo in terms of highest averaging potential.
Can I just say, you say she had a good role in the Pracky. She had a high midfield time role, but I do think that her main midfield role was just tackling, because she had like 16 or 15 and that
yes.
There was like 100 in total for Fremantle.
As I have previously mentioned, tackles are good for fantasy scoring because they get you 4 points.
I have forgotten about and that actually.
Secondly, yep,
that's a good point.
In the Megan Kaufman interview, she was talking about how, you know, we're not a one person team. We don't have a one person strategy. It's not all about Bowers. However, it takes more than one season to change your midfield strategy from being tackle everything to a little bit more evenly paced, especially when you're missing Ange Stannett unexpectedly and your key cog in Bowers. So I think if Ash McCarthy tackles everything this season again, I don't hate it.
I don't disagree with a single thing that you've said. I fully agree with all of it. I just, in my mind, she had a tackling role at West Coast as a very full-time midfielder, and this is just what she scores in that role. That's my main concern. I saw the Pracky game was about as wet as it can be. I don't think she's going to have that many tackles every game, so I think that's about it. I am very sad not to have saved my veto for Liam, but I have to use it here. I'm sorry.
Don't worry, Jono, I've still got mine.
What do you mean use it for me? That seems so cruel. Why would you think it's going to be me? It's outrageous. That's my pick up next, and I'm going to pick our M4 for the time being. I'm going to go Mattea Breed.
Oh, stole my pick.
Yeah. Oh, you going to veto it then?
I don't have my veto left.
You know what,
well, you're
Liam?
About to use it.
Otherwise, I would.
No. It's fine. Johnny, you're up. Your pick's up.
Oh, okay. I thought we're I thought you were about to wax lyrical on a Hawthorn player, and I was just waiting to soak it in.
No, like she had a really great role, like 350k, lots of CBAs, tackles well, multi-dimensional player. That's about all of the nice things I think I have in my bone to say about Hawthorn.
Yeah, no, well, I enjoyed hearing every single one of them. Yeah. I'm going to go back to defense and go cheap again. I'm going to go Abby McDonald from
You're not going to veto McCarthy?
I am. I feel like I have vetoed McCarthy. I don't take her out of the side. I wasn't here last season. I don't understand how this works.
Nope, that's fair. That's fair. Who are you replacing her with? Sorry.
Do I have to replace her with a midfielder?
No, you don't.
No, good.
You can replace her with Abby McDonald.
McDonald at the Cats.
Surely Abby McDonald goes straight to M3.
The day we have DPP, absolutely. But until then, Abby McDonald, I think two got a rookie defender option to miss out on.
No one make the joke. He said it again.
Will?
I am going to be left. Oh, is it me? No, it's not me. I'm going to sit tight and wait for my turn.
I'll just sit here and be decorative. We're really lacking on forwards at the moment. So I think with that in mind, I might pick myself another midfielder. And I am going to, because we've got a fair bit of money still in the bank, I'm going to pick Laura Gardner.
Big dollars spent here.
Jesus.
Big dollar reduce. I reckon if you're going to go for the two rookies on field, I reckon it's worth paying up.
Yes. I just don't know if this is the one that I would spend up for.
Yeah, well, you could have vetoed it, but you vetoed my other excellent pick, so...
No, this is one that I can justify, because she will be the number one midfielder, as opposed to Renee Karras, who may ruck.
Yes, I think Karras is unlikely. I think Karras is unlikely to be St Kilda's number one midfielder, so makes sense.
Jeez, Mel,
not something we can rule
picking
out entirely, though. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't love Gardner, but...
A controversial statement if this was last season.
Oh, I mean, you guys are fighting over how to say who loves Gardner the most. No one at all was saying I don't love Gardner. But I might go for our Season 9 interviewee, friend of the pod, Michaela Pounger, in F3.
F2, just straight up there.
On to the bench.
She's in at F2.
Sure. F2 it is.
All right.
That's very cheap F2.
Yeah, she's looked pretty good. Now, that means we've only got one on-field position left.
Which means Jono's going to get to pick it. That's got you thinking, William.
What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Now we'll go with Courtney Hodder at 733k at F3. She scored a bucket of points against North when she played against them last year. I think that Brisbane's tough run to start the year is actually good for her in terms of midfield scoring, because I think she will spend more time in there. And I do think that as much as she only saw a midfield role in the second half of the practice match, I do think that she saw a lot more midfield time in the practice match than we'd ever seen her play before. So I think that's a positive.
I'm actually so disappointed with this pick, Liam, because I love it.
Oh,
I really rate Courtney Hodder, so I can't veto this in good faith.
What a pity.
So, Jono, I hope you're ready.
Well, I'm trying to do some quick maths here, because we've got five positions left. Basement price is 300,000, which gives us 1.5 million if we go all basement, which means we've only got about 864,000 to play with. I still think I'm going to stick with the cheap options. In defense, I'm going to lock in Serene Watson.
Okay. So she comes on for
the newly appointed St Kilda leader.
I'm absolutely going to veto that, simply because it's the only on-field option I'm likely to get to veto. But
you could veto someone that's been picked a while ago. You don't have to veto it straight away.
I could, but I am going to keep it in the moment.
All right, well, Serene Watson's not there anymore. Will, who are you picking?
Instead of Serene Watson, We've got about 800k to work with, which is a bit. I don't want to go all the way up to that because otherwise we're going to be cutting it pretty fine. So I'm going to pick a very alternative one, I think, just because I think it's going to really annoy Liam and it's going to be quite an interesting one. I'm going to pick Tamara Smith from the Hawks.
Ooh.
That is a unique choice.
And I'm so glad we are having a video on this stream because Liam was flabbergasted with that pick.
No, you gotta explain this to Liam. Why are you going Tamara Smith?
I personally prefer the mystery. I really like what I saw from the Hawks in the practice games. They had a very kick mark game style in the back line, and both Tamara Smith and Tilly Lucas-Rod were doing a lot of kick marking back there, and Tamara Smith looked really comfortable as an interceptor. So I think there is a good 10 points worth of upside there for Tamara Smith.
I hate this pick because this is probably the kicking action that makes me the most uncomfortable every time I watch it. I do not like Tamara Smith playing in a role where that she kicks all the time.
I am so happy with this pick.
So unpleasant.
This is also a game that the Hawks won by over 50 points, and yet as a defender, she still had, 67 fantasy points? You know, the Hawks aren't going to have that sort of a run all the time. I really don't mind this pick.
Oh, just the chaos that I've just sown by picking that without Liam having a veto has made this whole exercise so worthwhile.
This is still a better pick than Renee Karras, though. Like, let me be fundamentally clear.
Like, 2.49.
Like, you know what? I'm not going to be too unhappy with Renee Karras getting vetoed if I get to keep Tamara Smith, so.
Mel? Only 2.49% owned. I like it. You've gone real bottom of the barrel there. I am glad that you did not use all of our remaining cash. Because I'm going to veto Laura Gardner.
No!
Ooh, there we go.
And I'm going to use a little bit more money and replace her with Ash Riddell.
Nice.
Yes. Our season 8 friend of the pod. Superstar from the Pracky game, superstar from season 8. Benefiting from a couple of potential more absences from Jenna Bruton in the midfield, but also elite duo with Jazz Garner. The underpriced of the two North midfield elites. So saving a little bit of money from going Garner there, who's really only going to be able to go down from that ridiculous price. I like Ash Riddell. She's very fun to watch. Very satisfying watching her knowing she's in your fantasy side. And that is something I consider highly when making my team. So there's my veto gone too.
I don't hate it.
Perfectly.
So we have an average of 431 per person left. So we've got four players left and 1.725 million in remaining salary.
Oh no, I'm last. I'm going to get stitched up with only 300 grand in who knows what role.
But yep. It could be the utility, which means you'll have the pick of everyone.
No, unless, guys, we have unless. To leave such. We have to leave. Make sure that the ruck is the only spot you can pick it. I'm going to go.
We're also running out of time.
At our M6, I'm going to go Saatchi Syme, who had an excellent game playing almost all midfield without Abby Dowrick in the practice match against Melbourne.
Oh, for you, stop.
Can I hear the logic
money.
For her at 400 grand over someone like a Wendlin at 300?
Because Saatchi Syme has played a lot more football than Wendlin. And probably has the better role. Wendland was playing a little bit more forward, but that game felt like a bit of an outlier. The ball was kind of pigging up and back the entire game, and I don't know if Port Adelaide are going to be able to sustain that all year. The other question as well is, like, why not Piper Window? I don't think we've actually really mentioned it much, but she's potentially got an ankle injury. We've heard nothing. We're waiting to hear more. She plays, that could also be Window.
Okay, and just to make it a little bit harder for me, on the final pick. Jono, what's your final pick?
Utility. Utility.
Oh, I'm tempted, but no. No, I think I'm going to lock in Ellis Smith from the Gold Coast Suns as our forward bench option. I'm excited by the opportunity she's going to have early in the season. It's hard to pass up.
I like it.
Yeah, you got to type in the K, otherwise you can't
find it. Yeah, it's such a nightmare trying to find all the bloody Smiths.
All the Smiths.
I keep forgetting that she's listed as a forward. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to help you out, Mel, simply because we can't pass up having an Irish woman in our team. So I'm going to go for O'Dowd as our bench ruck.
Okay. That means we
Liam was onto that one.
725k remaining.
That's pretty good.
And it can go in any line. So it could be a forward.
Woohoo!
Could be a
midfielder. I need you to help me out here. Exit this search.
Okay, yep.
Let's go players I can afford.
Okay. Players you can afford. And let's sort by percentage selected. And then let's go to the bottom. No, we won't do that. We'll go by price.
What's actually really disappointing here is that we're 3K off getting Jesse Wardlaw.
That would be the dumbest team if we're running Jess Allen as R2. All right. You've got...
Okay. What do we got? We've got the downside of recording on my screen and me not being able to see very well, so I'm looking real close.
Oh, there's some tempting options on screen already.
Yeah. Oh, Katie Lynch. It's got to be.
No.
No, don't do that. Do not do that.
I personally think that the obvious choice is definitely Sarah Veria.
You're a bad man. Ooh,
actually, Mel, are you taking pitches?
Can we pitch yes. to
you? Okay. I'll permit it.
Wonderful. Let me just double check that this player... Oh, it's slightly too expensive. No, I think the player that you should have is Nicole Bresnahan there.
Oh, I was actually just going to... I was like, I've just decided it's Nicole Bresnahan. Can I, let's hear
can
it
I, can I counter? Can I counter-propose that she played one good quarter and then did not play well at all against GWS and is coming off an injury last year and then a soft tissue injury this preseason. I don't know if I love running with a Nicole Bresnahan coming off two injuries, having seen very limited good football from her.
I hear from you, but this is Nicole Bresnahan. This is a champion of the game. We don't need her to be in good form because we know what she can deliver.
No, we
being
don't.
In good form helps.
I think this is the sort of thing. In preseason, it's nice to see form from young players and from fringe players. But I think when it comes to our absolute champions, like if Erebany Marinoff had put up an 83 in the practice game, would you care?
It's not so much I want to see form, I want to see health. It's not so much I want to see form, I want to see health and scoring like 20 points in the first quarter and then almost nothing for the rest of the game. And she was on ground is not a good sign for health. That's my concern.
She was on ground. Was the ball in the back line?
The other defenders were scoring. Emma Carney scored
70. This is all great, but I have a much better option than Nicole Bresnahan. And I'm going to throw this one, Mel, is Ellie McKenzie at 649 gets us another star midfielder that can make us a bit of money and get some good points. And we get to save a little bit of money.
And then we can chuck
one
of our on-field midfielders.
We can put Charlie Rowbottom as our utility.
Maybe we put Breed as our utility and we chuck Ellie McKenzie on-field.
Yep, I'm all for it. That leaves us with 76k remaining.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good amount for round one.
Which we will then...
A little trade action
exactly,
next week.
Which we will then use to trade Ebony Marinoff to Laura Gardner because Gardner will score 170 points and go up in price above her and Marinoff will only score 110 and lose a stack load of money. So, great.
Somehow
great
I don't feel like that's going to happen.
Yeah, me neither.
Good to cover all options, though.
So, to recap, we've now fully drafted a team. We've got 76k remaining. We have Alice Shearer in D1, and then we've got, flowing down to the rest of the defense, Ruby Slicer, Ella Heads, Tamara Smith, Kate Luskins,
yes.
And on the bench, Abby McDonald. And I think that means that I believe Tamara Smith is going to be our most lowly owned player at 2.49%. In the midfield, with a big fat C, we've got Ebony Marinoff, and then flowing through the rest of the midfield, we've got Ash Riddell, Charlie Rowbottom, Ellie McKenzie, Sinead Goody, and then on the bench, we've got Saatchi Syme and Mateja Breed. As for our ruck line, we have not got Reen Carr-Is. We've got Jessica Allen, and then we've got Eilish O'Dowd as our on the bench. And then in the forward line, it's Bonnie Toogood, Kate Hoare, Courtney Hodder, Ruby Tripodi, Michaela Pounger, and then Ella K. Smith from Gold Coast as our bench forward.
Feels pretty good.
Don't mind it.
Look, I hate the Tamara Smith of it all, but outside of that, I don't mind it.
I love the Tamara Smith of it all. It fills me with great joy.
Awesome. Well, that's our free kickers team. You can find our team in our league, which, Liam, is?
Yes, it is. I'll throw the code up on Twitter and on Instagram. I haven't got the code with me at the moment.
Awesome. Okay, sounds good. Thanks for listening to this episode of Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. We've got round one coming this week, which we're all very excited for, with the opening game on Friday night. So make sure your teams are locked in by then. Upcoming for the rest of the week, we've got Jono and Liam doing a Twitter Spaces live Free Kick on Air episode over on Twitter/X, which will be at about 8 p.m. or so on Thursday night, going through the teams that will be announced at 6:20 p.m. on Thursday. So jump over there, add any questions or comments to the post and join the guys for a chat. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcast, be it YouTube, we're at Free Kick W Pod. And we've also got two streams going on the other podcasting apps as Free Kick W Pod and also the official AFLW Fantasy Podcast. Go ahead and follow us on all of the socials. We've got lots of great content coming out there this week and then especially into round one. Free Kick W Pod on Insta and Twitter. But also you can follow us. I am Free Kick Mel on Twitter. Someone volunteer some information on where they can be found.
Oh, God. You can find me on Twitter at FreeKickWill.
You can find me on Twitter at LiamAFLWFantasy.
And you can find me on Twitter at FreeKickJono.
Love it. Or you can just find them at empty, still, silent space because no one has...
We had the loudest motorcycles going by in the distance. I wasn't going to say a thing.
Yes.
Oh, really? Yep. My bad. I did not hear that.
Because the established order is usually Liam and then Jono and then me. But Liam couldn't go.
Great. Well...
The luxury of living on Ligon, honestly.
Fantastic. Well, we'll chat to you all later.
Catch everyone. Good luck for the season ahead.
Bye. See ya.
Bye.